This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let's bring in the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder. As we're prone to do on Mondays and Thursdays. Hello, Daryl.
Good morning, guys.
It's wonderful to speak to you again, Daryl. Daryl, we had John Dorsey on the station, and he had his press conference yesterday. He was asked a couple of times about Greg Williams and his possibilities to stay around as the head coach of the football team after this year. If you were going to put a percent chance on it, didn't sound like he was too optimistic about it, but if you were going to put a percent chance on it, by the end of the season, is there a percent you can throw on it to say that he would stay around?
I'd probably say around 5% right now.
Well, that's pretty low. What
just,
if he goes? What if he ends up going like 5-2 or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to. I think that that's the only way he's going to get real serious consideration. They're going to give him an interview, I think, as a courtesy out of respect for him. But I don't see him being named the full-time head coach. I think that, you know, when the 8 games are all over with, I think he's got to be above 500. 5-3, 6-2, something like that. I don't even know if 4-4. Would cut it. And just looking at the schedule, I think that that's a little unrealistic that this team is going to be able to accomplish that. So my anticipation is that whomever John Dorsey goes with, it will not be Greg Williams, and that person also likely will decide to bring in their own defensive coordinator.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, join us. What did you take away yesterday from everything that John Dorsey said? Obviously appeared here on Bull and Fox as well. When you added it all up, I know he's a guy that doesn't say a whole lot, but it was a more optimistic press conference than I think we've had in quite some time with the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to handle this similar to how he handled the first pick in the NFL draft earlier this year, and that is he's going to try and keep the inner circle tight. You know, I think whatever information leaks out, it's not going to come from the Browns end of things. You know, he certainly understands the magnitude of what's in front of him here. Having to tell himself, don't mess this thing up, I thought was an interesting comment that he made yesterday. You know, he seems to have an understanding of everything that's gone wrong here and maybe to a lesser degree why it's gone wrong here. And he really seems determined to, you know, to get this thing turned around. So he's got a busy month or two in front of him.
Is there any possibility that Greg Williams would stay on with the organization as an assistant coach if the new guy comes in?
I mean, you never say never, but the way this thing works, Ken, in the NFL is typically the coaching staffs get blown out in their entirety, and very rarely do you see people stick around. I'd say that there's probably a better chance that Freddie Kitchen stays than Greg Williams at this point, just because this is just the nature of the business. And plus, Greg now is he's basically auditioning for jobs that are opening up or will open up around the league as well, either as a defensive coordinator or as the head coach, as are, you know, everyone on this coaching staff. So I would be surprised if Greg Williams is still here next year. And that's not a knock against Greg Williams. That's not a knock against the work that he's done since being here or the work that he's doing now. It's the reality of the business of the coaching wheel and how it turns in the National Football League.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, joining us on the hotline. So one thing we've kind of, not a feud, but something we've been arguing, because callers are all calling up because they're so used to the Browns just losing games that now they won a game and they also moved the football in the Kansas City game that they're so much of a better coach team now. I think it has more to do with Nick Chubb running crazy. The guy looks like he could be a total stud. And obviously Baker Mayfield playing really well. But it's some of the chicken or egg stuff. How much of that, how much of those guys playing well has to do with the coaching? How much of it is that they're just, they're getting older, they're getting more experience?
I think it's a combination of everything. If you execute, the coaches look like geniuses. If you don't execute, well, the coaches are a bunch of dummies. That's the way it works. So, I think that the players can play loose and free. They see that the coaching staff is kind of coaching loose and free. There's nothing to lose at this point. Everyone expects the Browns to lose every week now. Here on out, they're basically dead team walking. So they have that luxury at their disposal. You can go for it more times on fourth down. You don't have to be as conservative with your play calling. The one thing that I do notice, Anthony, though, is that Freddie Kitchens is actually using the personnel that he has to work with, and that personnel is rewarding him by executing. So, we're seeing plays being run that were not run under Todd Haley. We're seeing people get touches that weren't getting touches under Todd Haley. And thus, all of a sudden, what do you know? They got 7 offensive touchdowns in 2 weeks, and I don't think we've seen this franchise score 7 offensive touchdowns in 2 months before. So things are trending in the upward direction, which is nice.
Is dead team walking something you feel, or is that a perception? Explain that.
No, I think it's a perception. The head coach gets fired, the offensive coordinator gets fired. That usually means your season's over. In this case, the way they've played these last 2 weeks, even though Kansas City put the boots to them a little bit, they still scored 3 offensive touchdowns. Last week they manhandled the Atlanta Falcons. I fully expect that they're going to come out and be ready for that trip to Cincinnati on the 25th. So you don't see quitting the team. You didn't see it early in the season. They were in a lot of games, 4 overtimes. Unfortunately, they only had a win and a tie to, show for those overtime games. They got a winning record at home right now. They've got 3 wins, 2 losses, and a tie at home. It's been a while since they've had a winning record at home. So there are some positive things here, even though the overall record doesn't necessarily reflect it, and also the fact that they're looking for head coach number 9, at least in a full-time capacity, since 99.
Has that Bengals game ever felt like a rivalry to you, at least in the last 20 years?
Well, none of these games have really felt like a rivalry
well,
to me, because the Browns don't win any of them. When they do win, it's rare. I mean, you go back to 2014, Ken, that big Thursday night game that they took it to Cincinnati 24-3, moved to 6-3. We're all getting excited, printing our playoff tickets and all those type of things. They end up getting to 7-4 rather before just the franchise falls off a cliff and they win 6 games in the time since. So, now 7 games, I should say, with the win over Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So. No, it hasn't. Just because to have a rivalry, you got to play meaningful football between you, and the Browns just haven't played any meaningful football really since 1999. You can count them on one hand the games that have actually meant something that they've been able to play. But now that Hugh Jackson's down in Cincinnati, I'm sure that has the players' attention. And the one thing you asked me earlier, what stuck out about that press conference yesterday? There was one phrase that really stuck out, and he repeated it with Bolin Fox as well. Man of character.
There it is.
It's the first thing that John Dorsey said.
I didn't think that was a shot. I don't think.
Oh,
that he's
I did.
Well, I don't think that he's actually trying to put a shot out there. I think that that's just in the back of his head where I don't know if he thought that much of Hugh Jackson when he got the job, and I think he feels that he was proven right as time went on.
Absolutely. And while it might not have been a direct shot, John Dorsey chooses his words carefully, okay? Yeah. And the fact that when he was asked, both by Bolin Fox as well as by us in that press conference yesterday, Ken, the attributes he's looking for in a head coach, and the first words out of his mouth are man of character, that got my attention for sure.
Yeah, Darryl, I'll even say, and I've been a Josh McDaniels guy as one of the lead candidates that I'd like to be considered, but you can make the argument that man of character, with the way Josh McDaniels left that situation in Indianapolis last year, one could say, does that mean he's ruled out of the equation?
I have no interest in Josh McDaniels because of how he handled that last year. Right. I have no interest. I'm not going down that road because I'm not
even if he's
allow
a really
him,
good coach.
It doesn't matter. I'm not going to allow him to make a fool of me. That's the thing. He made a fool of the Indianapolis Colts. I am not. And listen,
he's never going to do that again, Daryl. Right? That is a one time thing.
You how do I know that?
Well, he'll never get hired.
How do I know that?
He'd never get hired in the NFL again. It'd be over. All he has to do is explain that away.
He shouldn't get hired in the NFL again after pulling that stunt.
Okay,
last year.
Would you rather have him be your coach or coach against him?
I'd rather just coach against him. I want nothing to do with Josh McDaniels. Okay. Absolutely nothing to do. That stunt he pulled last year was some of the most unprofessional nonsense you'll ever see.
Wait, did you say
it
Bill
really
Belichick
was.
Or did you say Josh McDaniels? Oh, that's right. They both did the same thing.
Just saying. Listen, Josh McDaniels is not Bill Belichick 2.0. There is no Bill Belichick 2.0. And the problem with all of Bill Belichick's coaches is they all try and be Bill Belichick 2.0. Name one Bill Belichick assistant that's been worth a darn as an NFL head coach. None of them. Matt Patricia stinks. Eric Mangini wasn't successful. I have very little interest in the Bill Belichick coaching tree because all of them try and be Bill Belichick and none of them are.
Just saying, Daryl, it's the highest paid assistant in the NFL. They wanted him to stay. They thought he was that
good
indisposable. That organization seems to make some pretty good decisions.
Give me John Harbaugh.
Well, yeah, hey, if he's available, I'd like him to be under consideration, too.
I have no interest in Josh McDaniels.
It's amazing.
He was the top
candidate for at least
three
different – boy, Daryl, this seems personal. I got to say, this seems
good
personal.
Good for him. Just thought. Listen, the Cleveland Browns already have enough problems as it is. What if Josh McDaniels – can you imagine what you guys are going to do, the bits you're going to be able to do if Josh McDaniels leaves the Cleveland Browns at the altar again like he did the Colts? I mean, seriously, every time the Browns have a coaching opening, which is basically every other year, that's all we talk. Oh, Josh McDaniels should be the guy. Josh McDaniels should be the guy. And guess what? There's been three or four opportunities for Josh McDaniels to be the guy. Josh McDaniels has never been the head coach of Cleveland Browns, has he? So you know what? Maybe it ain't that important to him.
Maybe he's waiting for the perfect situation and a young quartet of players that all look like
sure
they're destined
is,
to go
Anthony.
To the Pro Bowl. Maybe he thought, hey, I don't know, I see the meds, I see the evaluations over there for Andrew Luck, and I don't know if he's healthy. I don't know. This organization in Cleveland looks pretty good
looks
the way
okay
John
now.
Dorsey's right.
Andrew Luck looks okay now.
Okay, with all that said, Daryl, we'll move on.
Oh, yeah, you're moving on just because you got boat raced by Daryl in the argument.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything Daryl said, you could have said for Bill Belichick, and I think the New England Patriots made the right decision,
well,
not worrying about what he did
Bill
to the
Belichick,
Jets.
One guy's Bill Belichick, and the other guy's the other guy. That's how
the other guy's learning under him and privy to every single bit of information they have in the organization.
And so is Charlie Weiss.
Ryan Hoyer learned for years under Tom Brady.
Ken said something that's patently untrue. Belichick has never showed the blueprint to any assistant coaches like he has that's been reported on. Do your research, Ken Carman. Anyway, Daryl, how good do you think Baker is? Are we overreacting to two games against two really bad defenses, or is he going to be really good?
Wait, you overreact? When does that ever happen?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think the talent's there. That's what we're seeing. He's got the talent. To me, the question is, can he be that upper echelon, transcendent, elite quarterback? We've seen glimpses of the ability, or is he going to be just that average, you know, Dan Marino type that he'll win you some regular season games, he'll get you to the playoffs every once in a while, but he's not that really super elite conference championship winning, Super Bowl winning quarterback. We've yet to see. That's just going to take time for us to get there. But what you see with Baker is he's got the talent. He's got the tools. And also we're seeing that he really got a raw deal before the draft from the media and some of the stuff that was said about him, not only as a football player, but really as a person. People really did not do their homework on this guy unless he all of a sudden, when the Browns picked him, became a completely different human being. Because, I've not heard a negative word about Baker Mayfield from anybody in that building as a person or even as, a player, because they recognize that he's young, he's going to make mistakes, he's learning. I love the way he responded to Greg Williams, challenging him to cut it loose last week. Sure, he didn't throw for 500 yards, and he didn't, rip it 35 for 40 times, but he was efficient and – You know, his teammates gravitate towards him. You see the energy that he brings the organization. So do I think Baker Mayfield is the real deal right now just based on what I've seen since he took over in week number four as the starter of this team? Yeah, I think he is. I do. I think he's got the talent. I think he's got the personality, the charisma that that position requires. Nothing really bothers him. I love that quiet, the not-so-quiet confidence that he's got a little arrogance to him and ego to him, but it's the good kind of arrogance and ego. I think the kid's the real deal, and hopefully he continues to play at this level and prove everybody right that he is, in fact, the real deal, because he's certainly making you feel that way on the field.
Daryl, thank you very much for the time. Fabulous as always.
Have yourselves a lovely weekend.
Daryl Ryder on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
It's amazing. Browns are too good. Apparently, Browns are too good for a candidate that a third of the league has tried to hire over the last few years.
We'll get the update with Jeff while Lima tries to pick up his dignity. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.